Think of where you were before you fell. Remember how it was before you started falling? Remember how you loved your husband or your wife in that first initial thrust of the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden he didn't change and you became arrogant and a little egotistical and a little impatient and a little demanding, and all of a sudden you were retaliating and said, "If you don't get saved, sucker, you're out of here." Remember that? But when you first got saved, you said, "Oh, look at this wonderful, unique, glorious manifestation of God's love and grace. Oh," and you run home to serve Him and He slapped you around a few times. You said, "I don't take that no more. I'm saved. I'm baptized in the juice. I got my rights. I'm a Christian now. You can't do me like that." Y'all remember things? Y'all remember this? Y'all ain't talking to me now, are you? Folks, the Scriptures are to correct us. Jesus said for those that He loves, He admonishes. This word here will admonish you if you'll let it. But if you're reading it off to the church at Ephesus, "Oh, I wonder what was going on over there." Know what's going off in me. I'm the church. This is my spirituality. I'll tell you, I wish and I pray and I beg God to let me have that first love again. I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's as strong as it was when I first got it. I'll tell you. The battles that I've been through and the battles that I'm going... Do you have any idea what kind of battles you have to go through for something like this to come up in the church? Folks, there's no way you can imagine the battles, the heartaches, the disappointment, not in the world, but within my own community. My own baptized, confirmed brother, in my own ministerial priest is where I get bumped the hardest. But you know what? I pray to God every day to let me enter back to that first love. Because I know I got to get back there. I don't know how I'll get back there, but I know I got to go back to that first love. I got to go back. Because He said, if you don't go back, listen to this. Think of where you were before you fell. Repent. And do as you used to at first. Or else if you do not repent, listen to what will happen. I will come to you and take the lampstand from its place. Oh, my Lord and my God. Do you mean to tell me if I don't return to that first love, God, you will come and take the light, the Holy Ghost, the golden lampstand, the very power, the very understanding of God right out of me, and I will become worse off than I was before I ever gave it over to you? Hello. Now, are y'all glad you came? Folks, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be shocked all week. The Holy Spirit of God wants to correct us if we'll let it. And the Spirit is telling us, if we don't change back to that first love, the Holy Ghost is gone. My lampstand is gone. It's all gone. But He said, it is in your favor nevertheless. It is in your favor nevertheless that you loathe, as I do, what the Nicolaitans are doing. And then it says this. If anyone has ears to hear. Isn't that amazing that it would come right down to that? If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This is the spirituality of our church, folks. And it's from the Pope all the way down. It's just not for me. It is for me. I'm the only one that can operate in it. But it's for the whole church. This is first, foremost, and paramount. We must enter back into that first love. The agape love, that love of enemy, the love of neighbor. And your neighbor will be your enemy. We're going to talk a lot this week about enemies. Remember when you first got baptized in the Holy Ghost? You were floating on cloud 19. You were just, remember? Come on, give me a yes.
Yes.
You remember. We got to go back to it, folks. If we don't, listen to what it says. Those who prove victorious, listen to this, this is good. Those that repent and go back to it, it says, I will feed them from the tree of life set in the garden's, in God's paradise. I'm eating from that tree of paradise, that table. I'm eating from the very wisdom and the knowledge of God. For those that will repent and move back into that first love, you're going to eat some wonderful stuff. You're going to get wisdom. You're going to have understanding. You're going to be overjoyed. You're going to be excited. You're going to be thrilled. So now, in assignments for tomorrow, I do not have time to go through all these churches. You can see that you must read these over and over and over again to discern where you are. There's only two churches in here that are not called to repent. Neither one of those churches were living in me. The other five were. And I didn't even know it. The other five churches were alive and kicking off in me. And I said, oh God, help me change my mind. I want to prove victorious. I don't even know how to do it. God, bring me back to that first love. I don't know how to do it. I don't even know whether I want to do it or not. God, help me. Because people used to think I was really stupid in that first few years. And not everybody thinks I'm stupid anymore. They think you're smart. And if I'm not, folks, totally stupid, with love. The other church that I want to mention is the church at Pergamon. It is the most profound, visible spirituality that I see today in our society, particularly in the Roman Catholic side. I'm not up on the spirituality of our brothers from other denominations, but I do know the spirituality of the Roman Catholic Church because I've been to over 2,200 parishes. I don't know how many thousands and thousands of prayer groups I've spoken to. I've traveled literally all over the world preaching, and I do know something about the spirituality of our church. I've seen it. I have visited it. I have lived in rectories. I've lived in homes. I know some of the spirituality of this church. Listen to this church. It said, write to the angel at the church at Pergamon. That's Charlie Osborne. And say, here is the message of the one who has a sharp double-edged sword. Here's a message from God. Here's a message of one that carries the Word of God. Love your enemy. That thing is double-edged. It'll cut going in and it cuts coming out. It hurts. I know where you live. You live in a place where Satan is enthroned. Oh. And that you have held firm to your name, to my name. You did not disown your faith in me, even when my faithful witness Antipas was killed in your own hometown where Satan lives. Folks, would you say this is a pretty good church? I mean, this thing is strong. I mean, we got in our community, we've got people being killed for living this thing. And the angel is saying, look, I know, I've watched you. I know how you're still holding strong to that faith. I know how you've not despaired and you're still hanging in there, even when Antipas was murdered. And if you go back and look up this particular church, this place where Antipas was killed, in Pergamon, It was a seat of the Roman Empire. It was a seat of a governor of the Roman Empire. So they were being persecuted by the Roman Empire. Now listen to this. It said, nevertheless, I have one or two complaints to make. Some of you are followers of Balaam. Who taught Balak to set a trap for the Israelites. Do y'all know anything about Balaam? Well, tell me something right quick that you know about Balaam. Wasn't he the guy that rode the donkey? Everybody remembers Balaam, don't they? I mean, he's probably the most known prophet out of all the prophets of old other than David. Balaam, with him riding the donkey, is probably the most known. Let me tell you about Balaam. You remember in Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot and his daughters and his wife were entrapped in this infest of homosexuality and lesbianism, and they were desiring to get out. Abram wanted them out, was praying to God, don't destroy it because you might have five righteous over there. And finally the angels of the Lord came and led Lot and his two daughters and his wife out. And you remember when they got out, the place was destroyed. And as they journeyed along, Lot's wife turned around and looked back. Her heart was really back there. And she turned to what? In other words, she just stopped existing. Her ministry was over. Her heart was in the wrong place. Now the two daughters went on with Lot, and we know what happened to them, don't we? What did the two daughters do? Come on, say it. They had incest. What happened there was an incestual relationship. And out of that incest, we had two nations that were given birth. They both had children. And the nations that were given birth were the Moabites and the Hittites. It gives reference to incest. Do y'all know what incest is? What is it? We don't like to talk about it. It's when your family is screwing your family. That's incest. Now think about it. We know a lot about it from the flesh part, but we don't know too much about it from the spiritual side. There is spiritual incest. Y'all know that? Do you know there is spiritual incest that's going on right here in this room? Balaam, the angel said, many of you are followers of Balaam. Now, I want y'all to listen to Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God. He stood in the gap between Israel and the devil. I mean, he was always calling Israel to repent, and they hated Balaam so bad, they had him on the outer fringes of the town. Nobody would visit him, and he'd stay out there, and he would just, you know, lonely and hurting, and nobody loved him. And he said, God, this is a real pitiful job. You know, I wish you'd give it to somebody else. Nobody loves me. I'm being abused and taken advantage of. Y'all know how it is? That was it. Nobody understands me. And one of the tribes of the Moabites, which is an incest, came to Balaam. It said, Balaam, would you come to our camp and tell us and prophesy against the church? Would you prophesy against Israel? And Balaam, what did he say? Let me go pray about it. How many people have you heard in the last 20 years tell you they're going to go pray about something? Oh, I'll pray about it. And Balaam, folks, I'm going to tell you, this is the biggest problem we've got in the church today as I see it. It's the problem of incest. It's the problem of Balaam. And it's spiritual incest. I don't like this church no more. I'm going to this church. That's spiritual incest, folks. I don't like you no more. And in the Protestant ranks, it's much more devastating than it is in the Catholic ranks. What we're doing, we're going to their camps. And what we're doing is we're prophesying back and we're saying, I wasn't going to say something, but I ain't. Y'all get mad at me. It's the whore of Babylon. I'll go ahead and say it. And they're prophesying. They're idol worshipers. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, they're sitting over here speaking and spewing incest. It's called screwing your spiritual brother. Condemning your spiritual brother. It's what it is. You're not allowed to do that. I want y'all to listen to what happened to Balaam. This group, when they came up to Balaam, Balaam went into prayer and he prayed all night. And what did God say to Balaam? Don't go. Don't you go, Balaam. And so he came out the next morning and said, sorry, fellas, I'd really like to do that. These sorry, no good suckers that I'm having to deal with. I mean, I'd just love to get off and just throw them I'd love to give them these. But I can't. I've got to stay and suffer. The head seducer came and said, Balaam, we need you. We'll let you form your own church. We'll give you whatever, we'll pay you whatever fee. I mean, we'll just let you have it. It's yours. If you'll just come and prophesy against Israel, if you will just come and nourish this feeling inside of us and tell us how bad Israel is. And you know what did Balaam say? I'll pray about it. God's already told him what to do. He goes right back into prayer. God, these people need me. I want to go. I want to go. And God said, okay, Doobie, go ahead. Huh? You mean God changed his mind? No, but God will give you what you want. That's the whole problem. We've not manifest in us the love of God, the desire to serve God. And what we've done, we've taken what we call the Holy Ghost and we're out killing one another with it. God said, go ahead, Balaam. Balaam jumped on his donkey. The donkey had more sense than Balaam. He started beating on. You ever seen people beat on their donkey? I got to get out of this church. This sorry new. Come on, donkey, get out of here. And the donkey wouldn't go. Did y'all ever see people like that? I'm getting out of this place. And he whooped up on his donkey so hard the donkey said, Balaam, what in the world are you doing? The donkey talked to Balaam. The donkey had more spiritual sense than Balaam. A jackass. A literal jackass, folks. So it gives us hope. And in that moment, there was a great angel standing before the donkey. The donkey could see him. And knew that if he took another step, that Balaam would die. And then Balaam's eyes were opened to the angel of the church of Balaam and said, Balaam, you're going to die. That donkey would have took one more step. You would have died. You would have died, Balaam. You would have died. You're dead, Balaam. Turn around, Balaam. Go back, Balaam. You think Balaam went back? He whipped that donkey through the bushes. He whipped him through up against the fence. I mean, you could just, I could feel the skin being pulled off. of Balaam as he rode out. Right through the angel. Do you think it killed him? He died. See, spiritual death comes slowly. We always like to look at it as bang, you're dead. No, it's a slow process. It's a slow process. And I'm going to tell you, many of us here are dying. We're dying. Thank God we can repent. Balaam rode off into the Moabite camp, and he never prophesied against Israel. He said, I just can't do it. And they wound up finally killing him because he wouldn't do it. Our charismatic movement is probably the greatest example of Balaam that I've ever seen. We've had millions of our people leave the church, condemning it, judging it, prophesying against it, and they're dead. I don't care where they are, it's just a matter of time before they die. They're already dead spiritually, and they're going to die physically. When you ride out of the place that God has put you, you will die. Your love must grow where you are planted. It must grow. It must root. It must come up through the suffering, through the pain, through the agony of conversion, through the agony of giving birth into the kingdom of God. It's agony. Most people said, oh, I can't take it. I'm going over here to another church. I ain't going to do this. Anytime I find people praying about something, I run. Because I know you'll pray till you get what you want. I had a woman come up to me one day, and it's not picking on women. And she said, God told me to leave my husband. I said, how long did you pray? She said, for 6 months. I said, oh. It took 6 months for God to make up His mind to let you divorce. 6 months. Folks, you can pray and discern whatever you want to. Most of our praying and discerning is those things that we want for the flesh and not the things that we want for our spirit. We're all praying and discerning for our flesh. It is incest. When we allow ourselves to pray and to use that against anyone, it's witchcraft. It's incest. It's screwing your brother. It's killing the church. It's spiritual incest. We got to stop it. Amen. Now see, we hadn't even gotten to the good part yet. I've just only spoke about two churches. How many of us are convicted this morning by the spirituality of these two churches? These churches were given to us to reveal our spirituality. To show us where we are in our walk. It's the end of the book. God was merciful enough and kind enough, not only when we was born into original sin, born into this sin that we couldn't escape, born into this world to die. He gave us Jesus, and Jesus gave us the Word that we could know the walk. I know my walk. I know what I got to do. Why? I have spiritual discernment. Don't you come up and tell me that you're discerning spiritual things for other people unless you're discerning them from here. You'll be off into such era, you'll kill people. And that's our problem today. We're going around discerning everything for everybody, and we refuse to discern ourselves. Folks, this thing here lets me discern me. And I got to keep me going. I can't keep you going. And I'm constantly called to repent, 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 repent. Change my mind, change my mind, change my mind. And it's a constant battle. Now, let me ask you folks, how many of you think that I could go out and form my own church and fill that honey full, run it over, and really do a magnificent job? How many of you think I could do that? I'd be deader than a dead doornail. And nothing I do, it would be nothing but spiritual incest. We have been into spiritual incest for over 500 years. Our world is at the point of total destruction simply because We've got some 30,000 denominations right here in this country, and it's nothing but spiritual incest. That's all it is. Stop it. Repent. Change your ways. Those are the only two churches I'm going to talk about, because they are the two most prevalent churches in here. The rest of them pertaining to feeding the clothing and ministering to the poor. A lot of us are doing that. One of the churches is very wealthy, it's very rich, it's extremely fat, and God warns it, oh, how miserable and wretched and poor you really are. Read the spiritual guide to your life. It's right here in the book of Revelations. There's only two churches that are not called to repent. In the fourth chapter, we get into the spiritual prophetic vision, the prelude to the great day. The prelude to the great day. This is what's going to happen before the great day. The great day is when I check out of here. That's my great day. And I don't know when that day is, but I know that I'm checking out. I got up this morning to read in the paper the guy that checked out yesterday while I was sitting in the room next to him, just checked out. God came and got him and took him out of here. I had to look in the paper to see who he was. Oh, it was old Carl. Carl West. Well, praise God, old Carl just checked out. There was this great day. The great day. Doesn't say nothing about being born into this world as great. It says when I check out of here, that's the great day. Amen? Amen. Tomorrow we're going to talk about, in the fourth chapter, some things that you need to know about the seven seals. What does seven mean? Complete. Okay, whatever's been sealed up is complete. And we're going to see God open those seals. And we're going to see why He opened those seals. And we're going to see what the effects of those seals being opened onto the world, the effects that it had, and then you can begin to see your misery and see why we're in the state we are. It's not that God is bad. It's because we have desired to be bad. God gives us what we pray for. It may come to you in a way that you don't understand, but He flat gives it to you. So we better be very careful how we pray. Before the end of this week, we're going to teach you how the church teaches us to pray. It's very simple. It's not complicated at all. Has anybody learned anything today? Have you been helped a little bit? How many of you will try to read the rest of these churches before you come to work tomorrow morning? See, this is work. I'm sweating up here. You know this is work? And I know you're sweating there. You go, God, man. it's just wonderful, isn't it? Because there's nothing like the Holy Ghost getting a hold of you. You see, Charlie's not condemned you. It's the Holy Spirit that's calling us to repent. These are words of the Spirit. And they are prophetic. And they are for now, today, because today is the day that the Lord has made. It's a holy day. And I'll see you tomorrow morning at the same time. Should God tarry and leave me here that long.